Welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. My name is Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
Class is now in session. Today, we're going to be talking about everyone's biggest nuisance and kind of the things that bind us to like the patriarchy and heterosexuality and just everything that is annoying as fuck. Gender norms. Would you be considered more of like a girly girl growing up, or were you more of a tomboy, or did you not really like fit into either category? Like, were you subverting gender as a child? Where did you fall?
I think that's what's funny is I've never really felt like on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. I've never had qualms with being a woman per se, but also like, what does that mean and what does that look like? And I did have a lot of weird feelings around super girly things. So I would not describe myself as a girly girl. I like hated pink. I hated glitter. I felt uncomfortable like when I had to wear those things as dance costumes. And I also, on the flip side, don't feel like I could be considered a tomboy because a lot of the things that are stereotypically like in that umbrella, I just don't think I fit into. And I low-key still feel like that kind of in between is where I am. Like, I don't know. I do feel like I am feminine, but I don't feel like I'm femme or mask. I never really felt like a tomboy or a girly girl. So gender norms as you can probably assume, have always been a little frustrating for me.
Yeah, I think they're really frustrating in general because I do feel like they are kind of like these shackles that bind us to everything that society says we should or shouldn't be. And like, I know you mentioned the dance thing before and like the makeup and costumes. Did you enjoy doing dance in general though? It was just kind of like the things that came along with it that you just liked. Okay.
I loved dance. I still like miss it. And I did ballet. I did the hard point shoes, like where you would go all the way up. Mm-hmm. I did what I now describe as white girl hip hop, but like I did five different dance classes. I like lived at my dance studio. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. I just wanted at the recital to wear like normal clothes and not like non-sparkly. That was what my version of normal is, or like your everyday clothes, I guess I should say. Yeah. And I wanted to not have to wear stage makeup. And there were some times where my costumes, quote unquote, would be like a hoodie and shorts. Mm-hmm. And I loved those costumes, obviously, more than the glittery, like flowing things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sad that like it kind of took away from your passion for dance, like the fact that you had to engage in it in specific ways. Yeah. And it's just like you should be able to enjoy your interests without having to confine to these like norms surrounding it. I don't know. I feel like I was a little bit quote unquote tomboyish growing up, but also like I was also in between. Like I did really like makeup. I loved to play the dolls and play like house, but then also all of my friends were boys and I would like wrestle and like play with Nerf guns and like play video games, fucking like Street Fighter games. I don't know, like I was kind of like in between. And I feel like, I don't know if you felt this way, but when I was younger, definitely like the more tomboy girls were like cooler, like the girls who like wanted to go all out in gym class and like didn't care about like being girly, like they were so cool. But then like the older you get, and I feel like if you were super super masculine, you were kind of like, you were probably like bullied for like looking like a boy or dressing like a boy like too much. Like you're more at risk for homophobia or transphobia, like depending on how you're perceived and like what kind of people you're around.
See, all the like people that, all the girls that were like tomboys that I thought were really cool, what actually was happening is I had a crush on them.
Yeah.
That's totally, my type is like,
okay,
tomboy, androgynous, non-femme. People who are less feminine than me is my type. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you're more girly now, like quote unquote girly now, than you were growing up? Because I feel like you would maybe more fall into that category now, but I don't know if that was how you always have been.
Right. I don't know if in the past it was more of like a shield for me because a lot of my, I didn't know how to befriend girls because I was like intimidated by them because I liked them and I didn't know how to be around them, but guys weren't intimidating to me, so I could just easily befriend them. And then also, like, all of my family friends had, like, boys, so I was just always around them. But, like, I also, like, was a very hairy child, which I would get bullied for, and, like, I wasn't comfortable with my body and, like, the way people and society made me feel about my body. So I'd wear a lot of, like, baggy, more masculine clothes. Like, I didn't want to wear things that, like, showed off my body or showed off how hairy I was. Sure. So I felt like it was a little bit easier to try and, like, almost blend in that way, but not necessarily go too far into masculinity that it made me stand out. Right. But I just kind of wanted to be like a blank slate, almost, like, as neutral as I could get, I guess.
So interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say I necessarily feel more or less feminine now. I definitely, like, dress more stereotypically feminine. I've, like, tried to dress a little bit more masculine. I don't know, just, like, it's really hard when you have huge boobs, like, not a lot of things are made to fit your body. And then also, like, the fits that you see like, that are more androgynous or masculine, you don't usually see those on people with larger boobs. And if they are, they're, like, binding their chest, so it's just hard to, like, see. It's just, like, not as available or, like, readily out there. So it's hard to, like, find that style with my body. But internally, I definitely feel more masculine at times. And it's, like, so hard to explain because it'll be, like, sitting, like, in a specific way, like, spreading out, like, spreading my legs, putting my arm back, or, like, when I put my arm on the back of, like, the back of the seat in the car to, like, back up. Like, I just feel more masculine in my body, and it's not necessarily, like, a dysphoric way either. Like, it feels good to me.
So. And that's the thing, like, gender norms go so deep. And as somebody who's, like, dated all the genders, so to speak, like, part of the reason I don't like dating men anymore is because they really have a harder time, I think, separating gender roles in relationships. And that's not to say it can't be done, but it's harder because I feel like a lot of the ones I was dating anyway, I had to, like, either train out of them or, like, learn and they usually benefit them more with. I don't know. I see a lot of sides to it because I grew up in a house where there were a lot of breaking of, like, gender norms. Like, my mom worked full time and was successful as much or if not more so than my dad. Like, they're both very successful engineers. My mom was more educated than my dad. And there was a lot of balance in our house. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't gender norms as well, or things that, like, my dad would never do because that was just, like, not his place. And then things that my mom would leave for my dad because that's a man's job. And I don't think that they are doing anything harmful. Like, at the end of the day, they are doing what works for them. But I found that I had a hard time for myself getting a balance in my personal relationships that was something I was okay with.
Yeah, it's hard to be okay with it, especially, like, household labor. Like, the division mostly lands on the woman or the femme presenting person. And, you know, we're, like, kind of taught that men are, I don't remember the exact phrase, but, like, oh, they're incapable. Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know that I should do that. But really, it's they know how, or they know that they should, but they see it as beneath them. So then the people who are beneath them, that's for them to do. That's not for me to do. So it's like an act of dominance and an act of, like, expecting you to be subservient, but they play it like they're dumb. And that's really not what's going on there. And I think that's, like, super common. And women are expected to just, like, take that at face value and be like, okay, I'll handle everything. Yeah, it's very frustrating. I also couldn't deal with it when I was dating a man. I felt like his mom, and that was, like, a big reason that I was like, I don't think this is the life for me. Like, I don't think this is what I'm meant to be doing. I'm not ready to be a grown man's mother, and I don't think I ever will be. Not to say that I haven't felt like that with women either, but the workload is, like, so much more balanced, and also, like, the emotional workload and, like, relational, not just, like, the division of household labor, but just, like, in general, it feels so much more balanced with women, even if they're, like, in need of a lot of therapy or, like, struggling in a lot of other, like, just not being a good partner in other ways and just need to catch up a little bit. It's still, like, leagues and leagues and leagues ahead of the yeah. men that I've been with personally, but maybe that's just my luck or the taste of men that I was going for. So one of the first questions we got actually was why must they exist? And like I said before, they're kind of things that keep the patriarchy in motion and help them to work. And if you follow along, subscribe. Yeah, if you subscribe to them, that kind of helps the whole machine going. And it's kind of like how right. we're sold these imperfections by capitalism, and then we're sold ways to fix them, and they keep coming up with new imperfections and new things we need to fix. Like, if as long as they can keep selling us their product, they're going to keep making things so that we keep buying into it. And it's kind of the same with the patriarchy.
Yeah, I also think people are creatures of habit, and mm-hmm. we are in a time of trying to undo literally centuries of mm-hmm. things being normalized that have no business being normal in society, like gender norms. And so I think the more we can do to counteract them, the better things will be. I mean, I already think now more than ever, things, you know, are better than they could ever be in terms of like women knowing that they can go and get, you know, any job, and women in STEM and all these like things that are breaking typical gender norms. And like, even how I just said, my mom's an engineer and like has more education, and that isn't something that's even like possible 100 years ago in terms of like women having that level of yeah, education.
Even less than 100 years ago, if you think about it,
like we couldn't even vote like mm-hmm. less than 100 years ago. So we're continuously trying to undo all of these things that are so ingrained everywhere that it's going to take a while for them to like not exist ever. But I do think that like with each new generation, there's a lot of things being broken in that cycle, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I feel like I have hope for it, but at the same time, I see all the people working against that because of yeah. the fear that they have about the progress that is being made, and like how quickly like transphobic laws and homophobic laws are being passed. Like, so many things that are trying to make us revert to quote unquote old ways, which is just yeah. like oppression. Mm-hmm. It's very scary. And then someone else asked, why are they so goddamn confusing? And I think it's confusing because like, I feel like by nature, it's supposed to confuse you almost. It kind of keeps you in the dark about things if, you know, not everything is obvious. And also like, mm-hmm. They're not natural. Like, gender isn't natural. Sex is natural, like biological sex, but gender is completely constructed. So that's yep. why it's confusing if you don't fall in line with them, because, you know, it's not like a natural facet of human life. It's something that we're constrained by.
Yeah, word.
Yeah.
I think they're confusing because it's all bullshit. Like you said, yeah. like, yes, people are born with certain bodies, but how we present and gender is all made up. It's all literally all bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that you can't want to have a different body than you were born with, mm-hmm. but you can have any body and present as any gender mm-hmm. and I don't know. It's confusing because like, it's all just crap. And like you've said before, a lot of gender norms are reinforced for the patriarchy, and it's confusing because none of us have time for the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not serving probably any of the people listening to this podcast and the people that it might be serving. It's also still hurting them in like ways that keep them indebted to it. So it just like all so fucking convoluted and, like you said, confusing. And it's just not natural. Like, we're not supposed to like, girls like pink and boys like blue. Like, no, people like what colors they fucking like. Like, why is it natural to like fall into these mm-hmm. like these binaries? It doesn't make sense, because there aren't only two options in the world, and also not everyone is the same. So yeah. that's why it's so confusing.
And like you said, it hurts all sides, because mm-hmm. even for men who get a lot of privilege assigned to that gender, They still have like toxic masculinity literally only exists because of gender norms. It's like mm-hmm. not normal for men to cry and have feelings and emotions. It's mm-hmm. not normal for them to like be like even fucking respectful in some situations, because it's like that's weakness that you would mm-hmm. I don't know, have enough emotional capacity to think about other people. It's like so weird and right. primitive, and that is then hurtful, because guess what, you're human and you're gonna have feelings, and it doesn't right. matter that you also like cars and all these other things that are binary, like you're also gonna cry. And like, I don't know, I also feel pretty lucky because I have a dad who was very comfortable being emotional around us mm-hmm. growing up, especially at events where they were emotional, like at funerals. I saw my dad cry. He didn't mm-hmm. hide it, and he went out of his way to say things like, I'm sad, and I'm sure you are too, like I'm really sad. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like flip, because my mom is the one that hides her emotion yeah. more. Maybe mm-hmm. that's a cultural thing, because my dad's Italian, we are emotional people.
Yeah, but then I also wonder if it's because women are told you're too emotional, and she feels yeah. that she can't express those emotions because then she won't be taken seriously, because she was an emotional woman growing up. Yeah, like it fucks us up in so many ways, and like insidious little ways, but then also ways that we connect interpersonally. And how can that be normal? How can that be okay that we are told to suppress feelings, or that we feel too much? But that's, you know, it's just because we're unserious and can't be taken seriously. Like, it's just right. across the board not healthy, and there's no way that that's like what we're biologically programmed to do. It's been mm-hmm. conditioned, and people still can't follow the conditioning, which obviously means it's not working and should no longer be implemented, because gender roles wouldn't have to work as hard as they do, and people like advocating for them would not be having to work as hard as they do to keep other people in line if it was natural and normal for everyone to fall into. Right. Like, it's just bullshit. I hate it so much.
It's all bullshit. And I would say, you know, hey, at least we're queer. But one of our questions next, are gender norms still prevalent in relationships between women? How do quote unquote traditional gender roles perforate queer relationships? And I think that there has been a lot of society being comfortable when you can see a queer relationship and somehow have it mirrored back, which is why I think sometimes in media representation, there's like one mask, one femme, or mm-hmm. they'll ask,
or like, when it's not, it's two femmes, because that's like what's palatable and found like sexy. So it's like yes. either fetishization, or we want,
or mirrored.
Like, yeah. And we expect the mirroring to mirror what we think like a hetero relationship is. Like, they expect the butch to be the one paying for things, or like, I've seen right. so many memes about like, I'm not going to fix your car. Like, go call a man to do that. I'm just a stud, or I'm just a whatever. And it's like, they expect things to like fall in line. My girlfriend recently had a conversation with some people about our relationship, and they were like, so are you like the man because you leave the house to work and Cheyenne stays home, and she like will clean while you're at work / multitask and do her work? And she was like, no, we're both women. That's not how right. we're, or, well, you know, my gender is, it's all game, but she was like, it's a good point.
Like, that's not a thing. And mm-hmm. just because you're doing things that might fit one gender role, does that mean mm-hmm. that you're in any sort of box? Like, if you're home, it might make sense. You have more time to, like, when is she going to like come home during her lunch break to clean? Like, that's not mm-hmm. like logical. And that doesn't mean that queer relationships are void of gender roles, because I think we're all products of society, and there's probably a lot of people who have things to unlearn still, mm-hmm. I'll say. But if you're looking at a queer relationship and assigning gender roles to them, like, that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we can like even personally feel like we need to like act out these certain roles. And it's kind of hard to tell if it is just like a queer manifestation of love almost, or if it is that gender role. Like, I've had more masculine partners like feel like they needed to like provide for me and like wanted to make all the money and take care of me. But like, that's not to say that I haven't had feminine partners say the same thing or vice versa with me saying that to people. So I don't know if that's them feeling like, oh, I'm the more masculine one, I need to provide, or if that's just me wanting to take care of my partner. Like, I don't know if there's a way to kind of qualify that and say, this is just me showing love versus me falling into a gender norm. I think that they are so prevalent just because they are so ingrained in us. And I feel like the first thing I thought of when I read this question was about how people will see certain queer relationships and it's primarily between two mask partners and they're like, oh, that's gay. Like, that's gay. And it's like, this is all, we're all gay. Like, that doesn't, like, why is that? Why are you talking about that dynamic like it's derogatory? Like, that's like a beautiful thing that they can celebrate and embrace each other's masculinity and love it. Like, that's great for them. So I don't know why people act like they're above others who do that. I don't know if it's super internalized misogyny, homophobia, like butch phobia. Like, there's just so many layers to it. But I do think it is prevalent because I've seen people say shit like that. And I've even had people tell me that I can't call myself a dyke because I'm feminine presenting. So it like,
and I don't subscribe goes into to that so many.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to it either, but they were like, only
I've been called a dyke, so guess what, I can call myself one.
I do think it is prevalent and it can perforate in a lot of different ways, from just like what you call yourself to how you interact in the relationship to how people react to your relationship, even if you're not personally experiencing those gender roles. So
since we kind of talked about the man, quote unquote, in the relationship, another question mentions that, why do all of my recent dates expect me to act like, quote unquote, the man in the relationship? And I don't know how this person presents or where they're living and why they're around women who are, or why they're going on dates with people who would act like that, but that's not cool.
No, that's not cool. And it just shows how, like, inherently, I don't even know the word I want to say. I don't know if I want to say that it's like misogyny, if it's the internalized homophobia. Like, you should want to treat your masculine partner like the same way you would want to be treated in a relationship. You shouldn't have these like arbitrary expectations. And like, if it's division of labor based, like, you're like, oh, you take out the trash or whatever. Like, that should be something that should be discussed and it should be part of your skill set. Like, okay, I prefer to do that. Like, we talked about this in the living with a partner episode. Like, I prefer to do the dishes. My partner prefers to cook. It shouldn't matter if I am the more feminine presenting or the more masculine presenting one. It should just be divided based off of our strengths and weaknesses and preferences. And if you're with someone who's like that, my advice is to get the fuck away from them, because, you know, you shouldn't be with someone who has those very like heteronormative expectations of you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I feel like it's so hard to put people in a box of like mask and femme, because like the outward presenting versus the who they are, like, it's, people just have like different interests, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I do know what you mean. I like how you said there's presentation and then there's like actions and then there's vibe, and that's why it like is interest. So layered.
Yeah,
because somebody could come look like totally mask and then they come up to you and they're like, hi, and they like act totally different. Like, you have no idea how like the whole spectrum for one person is going to mesh together to create who they are. And that's why gender norms are stupid anyway.
I agree. I fully agree. So another question we got was, do you have any thoughts on chivalry between men and women? And I was really interested in hearing your thoughts on this.
I do have thoughts on chivalry, because I think that chivalry only exists because it's not normal for men to be respectful to women. So then when they go out of their way to do something that a totally normal human being would just do to be courteous, like hold a door open, or like, I don't know, my girlfriend will always like go to my side of the car and open the door for me. And it's just like, I don't know. I just think that chivalry is an excuse to think that you're a better guy just for doing things that are things you should do to respect the person that you're with. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
right. Like, why do they get a gold star for being polite or like being kind? Like, if I hold the door for people behind me, that's just like me being nice. But if like a man does it, then it's like, oh, he's like a good one. Like, he's really good. And it's just like, we're just like doing the bare minimum to be kind.
It's
to, like,
all a trick to hide how low the bar is for me.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. It's just fucking gold stars for literally nothing. And the bar is in hell.
When people are like, chivalry isn't dead, I'm like, you mean men are evolving to be more respectful? No, it's not. I don't know. I hate the chivalry concept is outdated because, like I said, like, you should just be doing things. It's an outdated concept overall.
Yeah. And if anything, I feel like in the queer community, there's way more chivalry. Like, I was just telling my girlfriend about, we talked about it in a past episode, about how you took like fresh basil from your garden on your first date. Was it your first date with your girlfriend?
It was date four.
Okay. Date four with your girlfriend. But like, that's like chivalrous. Like, and if a man did that, she would like propose on the spot and be like, let me, like, not she as in like my girlfriend, but just like this arbitrary she, like, that would be like, wow, this man is like my future husband, I'm gonna mention this at our wedding. And that's just like a cute gay thing that you did. Very nice of you, like, it was great, like, that's such a cute story. But if a man did that, like, the bar is so low, that would be like, she would like take him to meet her dying grandmother after that and be like, look at the specimen I found.
I feel like I've seen TikToks and I've also heard like anecdotal stories of like people I know personally who, when they ask, like when somebody asks them, like, what do you like about this man? The first things that they say are things like, oh, he's actually really nice to me and he actually listens to what I say and he actually cares and he actually holds the door for me. Or there was one person I know who said he's the first guy who didn't make me feel like I had to have sex with him. Aww. And I'm like, yeah, these are things that everybody should be doing. Like, even if it's like your friend who's like in front of you, who should hold the door for you. Like, I just can't. The bar is so low. It's obnoxiously low.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me so sad. Like, just thinking about how many passes men get, and I'm not saying like the bar should be lower for non-men, I'm just saying the bar should be higher for men.
I'm gonna cut this out, but my sister actually has a bar high where it should be. Like, she won't put up with stupidity when it comes
to she can't find anyone,
and therefore she's having a horrible time dating, and she can't find anybody that's like gonna stick. Or like, even the guys that like low-key didn't do anything wrong, they just like don't have it all figured out and just like are non-committal. And I applaud her for having the ability to set the bar, but men, but like, there's like 2% of men in the world who actually are above that bar. So her,
and how, like, many are around you, like,
in our fucking hometown where my sister is, let alone, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, whatever.
That's probably gonna be a Patreon, but I just wanted to add that, cause like, I really do feel bad. And even my roommate has gone through like a similar thing where like the guys in Tucson are just like, meh. And she's like, but I don't want to like lower my bar. I'm like, no, don't.
Yeah. And then a lot of people do set a lot of like loneliness and then regret it down the line when they either end up with someone who isn't compatible or is just like a complete piece of shit, or just like waste their time instead of like being single and working on themselves. But you can, like, some of the things that you work on with yourself, you can only do in a relationship. Like, it just all fucked up. And I think it's because men do get away a lot with being below the bar.
So since we're talking about chivalry in queer relationships, if you go on a date, who should pay? Obviously it's the mask presenting person. They are the ones who should. No,
just obviously Gina's kidding. I don't know, personally I always offer to pay, and then it's like kind of the little tug of war, like whoever really wants to pay, and then, you know, whoever ends up paying, it's a paying, usually me. I think whoever asks the other person on the date, or like if you're doing things, like one person can pay for dinner, one person can pay for the movie, one person can pay for popcorn, one person can pay for the movie tickets, like you can split it, make it even. I think that's the best way to do it, or just like whoever asks.
I would say that like ideal situation for that I would think anyway is the person who said like, hey, would you like to go here with me? They at least offer like, hey, I'm gonna like they put their card down or whatever they're gonna pay. The other person should say like, oh, did you want me to split it? And the first person says, no, 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 I got it. But then you go to a bar or something, or you go somewhere after, or maybe on the next date, the person who didn't pay says, okay, now it's my turn. Like when my girlfriend and I first started hanging out, like she'd buy us like one meal. And then the next day I'd be like, you got yesterday, so now it's my turn. And then that already creates like a wonderful dynamic. That's what I think. Like it's a give and take of who initiated, and then you ebb and flow to make things like somewhat even. You could always say like, it's my treat because you just got promoted or because whatever, but that's like a normal thing you would do with friends. So yeah.
And I also think it's like a cute way to like make future plans. Like, oh, you pay next time. I got this time. If you want to see them again, that's like a cute way. Yeah. So I think that's a fair way to do it. If you don't want to split that night or whatever, don't pay every time though, because that is bad. Like, unless you're not rich. Bad. Yeah. It really depends on like the financial dynamic, but if you're paying every time they're just letting you, that's a red flag on its own. They're like, they're never trying to pay.
I agree with that. Yeah.
All right. So I think with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this wonderful topic. So we are back, and the next question we have, it kind of starts off not a question, but we're going to get into the question part. This person said, shaving is fucking stupid. I've never consistently shaved my armpits because honestly, it's a lot of effort, but I've only just started doing it consciously when reading about the enforcement of gender norms, and my parents just don't get it at all. I'm also quite self-conscious about it overall. Like, I haven't mentioned it to my friends a lot, so I don't know. How do I overcome that?
I feel like I've gone on a big journey, honestly, with body hair and hair in general, especially because I don't want to shave, but I also don't want certain parts of my body to be hairy. And I do think shaving is like stupid in the sense of you're a quote unquote woman, so you have to shave. Or like, I remember a lot having a lot of shame growing up around like my leg hair growing back. And like not keeping up enough with shaving. And especially I would hate like internally, not actually, but like internally hate my, like my best friend who's like blonde and has two leg hairs that grow back once a quarter. And I would like shave and have a 5 o'clock shadow on my calves by the end of the day. And it would drive me nuts because it felt like I could never get like rid of enough body hair. And so I think that whole, the shame that I had around needing to remove hair is stupid. And I used to like shave everything from the neck down. Like I shaved my arms, my legs, my armpits, my mustache, everything. Yeah. And then I recently kind of went through a phase where I was like, I'm going to stop shaving everything, including like doing my eyebrows. Like I stopped and I let any hair that was on me grow back. Now my eyebrows grew in kind of funky because of years of doing things to them, but I did reshape them and I'm like happy with the way they are now. I'm definitely really into my armpit hair. Like I fucking live for my armpit hair. And I've been in situations where I felt a little weird about it, but outside of my one trip to Miami, I love having my armpit hair out. Miami made me self-conscious because the gender roles there are like really enforced, or at least they are at all the nightclubs and shit you're going to for a bachelorette. And like, even with family weddings, I've had to decide like, do I bleach or do I shave? Like, what do I do? And I've gotten more and more comfortable, I think, with just like letting my hair rock and roll. And Right now I'm at the point where there are certain things that I'm deciding actually, like, do I like this or not? So like my mustache, I like had it rocking for a while, mm-hmm. and it's something that I'm like, you know what, this might be one of the things I do shave, which, mm-hmm. hey, a lot of people with mustaches shave their mustache. Like that's mm-hmm. just, that's a genderless thing, I feel like. And I also am kind of like back and forth on my legs. I kind of want to laser it so that it's just like less prevalent. Like I don't need it to go away. I just don't like how much hair and how dark my hair mm-hmm. is, but I'm kind of used to not everybody getting it. Like even the first time my dad saw my armpits, he was like, you don't shave your armpits anymore. And I was just like, no. And honestly, that was like the end of it. It wasn't like a big thing, but people are, my one aunt was like, ew. But then she said, to be fair, she was like, to be fair, I don't want to see anybody's armpit hair. So like, get yours away from me. I don't want anyone's armpit mm-hmm. hair near me. So like, I just think that, you do start off like self-conscious, I think, because breaking a gender norm like that does put a spotlight on you in this weird mm-hmm. way that I don't even think I was expecting. But mm-hmm. once you get over it and you can learn to like turn the spotlight back around on somebody, like, so when someone will ask me like, oh, you don't shave your armpits, I'll be like, do you? Regardless of who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who they are. Cause it's like, well, who cares? Why are you asking me? Do you shave your armpits? Like, whatever.
Yeah. It just shows how like willing people are to comment on your body, and a lot of it comes down to like having to set boundaries and say like, no, we're not gonna talk about my body in this way, or turning it around on them and being like, well, I don't like how you did your hair today, so you know, you should be really concerned with my opinion about
I just start reading my family like, you're gonna not shave your armpits, you're gonna wear your hair like that.
Well, I kind of did that to my mom recently. She was like teasing her brother for what was she teasing him for his haircut or something, or how he styled his hair that day, and she had just gotten a haircut, and I was like, well, maybe he doesn't like your haircut. And like, I love my mom, but I was just kind of like showing her like, hey, don't make comments about
so many in the back of my head now. Like the next time my aunt says anything, I'm gonna be like, that's a lot of talk for a woman who hasn't updated her wardrobe since 2001.
I love that. You'll have to let me know what she says. And I really hope you do say that to her. Cause it's just like, what makes you think you can say that to me? What makes you think that you have any say in my appearance? And why don't I get to have a say in yours if you're going to have a say in mine? I definitely relate a lot to what you said. I used to shave literally my entire body, like my entire back. I would shave my toes, literally every hair that grew aside from like my eyebrows and my head.
I do still shave my toes.
I do still shave my toes. Yeah. Because they bother me. But like my entire back, every single day, I did not have a hair. I shaved every day of my life for years. And then I was finally like, you know what? I'm not going to let like the bullying that I've endured from having a hairy body like stop me from living my life. And I like started to let my arm hair grow back in. And I remember my ex-boyfriend at the time, I like said he should like shave his facial hair or something, but it was because it like hurt me when we would kiss. And then he would be like, well, you're letting your arm hair grow back out, so you should shave that. And I was like, how the fuck dare you? And he never said anything like that to me again. But even like dating him, I don't know, I feel like I had that experience. And then it was kind of a joke for me and my friends to go in the opposite direction when I was like in high school. Like we'd participate in No Shave November and we'd like grow out our leg hair and wear skirts and we'd all be like, look how long my leg hair is. Like I was surrounded by people who didn't really give as much of a fuck, which led to me not giving as much of a fuck. And I like grew my armpit hair out and tried to like dye it fun colors and it didn't work. But I made said ex-boyfriend like dye my armpit hair for me. So I don't know. That's I feel so like we all go on our own journeys with certain gender norms, and shaving is like a big one because like I said at the beginning of the episode, it really is the patriarchy trying to get you to buy more hair removal tools and treatments and just like getting into the pockets of old white men, essentially.
So the mistake used to shave like everything. Which he was, I don't know. I feel like there is a brand of guys that
do that. Yeah.
They're like, but then really they're also muscular. Like,
that's gay.
Oh yeah. He'd be the first person to like say like, that's so gay or whatever.
No, I mean, but people say that about them, but then also like the guys that do that, like they get it. So they're like, oh, it's not gay. Like he's showing off his muscles and his veins and stuff. But then like other people are like, that's gay. You shave your whole body. Like men are supposed to be hairy. Like, I don't know. Whatever is not benefiting.
What's funny. So he shaved everything, like his legs, his arms, his chest. And I only got annoyed when his chest would like grow back and it would be prickly and I like couldn't wear his chest without him having a shirt on, and then he wouldn't want to put on a shirt and it would be a whole thing. But I think that because he spent some time in Florida, and I know I just said Miami really enforces a lot of gender norms, but they also allow men to like do certain things like tan and shave and get manicures that, you know, in Texas, that would be gay as fuck for a dude to do and all this shit. So it's so weird because it is all like arbitrary, like we said, but there's these certain like rules in different places. So even though I dated him, we lived in Pennsylvania, he's still shaved and he's still tan. And he would sometimes get annoyed at me for like being hairier than him. And I,
because it probably made him feel emasculated. Is that why?
Probably. But I also like problematically in my head, I like didn't really want him to shave because I was like, I like my men hairy. And it's not because of gender norms. It's because I like my men manly and I like my women manly. I don't know. I like masculine people.
Well, that is like that the most feminine that,
man I ever dated.
Yeah. And it's just like the stereotypically feminine too. Like that. It's just like what, what I mean?
Sure. Like, because he wasn't like the most in touch with his emotions. He just had those certain things that he did.
Yeah.
He like went tanning.
It's just like, the different ways that people express their identity. But anyways, going back to this person's question, how do you overcome it with your friends? Well, first of all, if your friends are shitty about it, maybe don't be friends with those people, or like try and at least like educate them and be like, hey, like, this is why we're told we should shave. And, if they don't come around to it, probably not somebody you want to be friends with. But you shouldn't worry about it, because a lot of us feel kind of like bounded by the expectation that we shave or that we present a certain way. And these people will probably be like, oh, it's okay to not shave. I don't actually have to shave.
Like even my straight friends don't care whether or not I shave. And even my friend who I was her maid of honor for her wedding, I didn't shave my legs, but also my legs weren't out, so it didn't matter. But I did shave I think I bleached my armpits, or maybe I shaved them. I kind of forget. But afterwards she was like, I hope you didn't feel like you had to do that. Like, I don't care. And I was like, it's not for you. It is and it isn't. It's more because I don't want people whispering about me on a and they would have been like, did you see the maid of honor? And I didn't want anyone talking about anybody besides her, you know, like I didn't want the spotlight shifted to me in that moment. But also, like, I know my friends and they don't give, why would they give a fuck what how much hair I have on my body or what color it is or whatever.
Fuck those people if they do care.
Okay, so this next question is, how do I know if I'm trans or just body dysmorphic? Is there a difference between being dysmorphic and being trans? For example, I love my female body when I'm naked, but sometimes I feel uncomfortable with my appearance when I'm dressed.
Yeah, it's hard for us to say if this person is trans or dysphoric, but like trans people do not always experience body dysmorphia or dysphoria. Sometimes it's like the expectations that society puts on them that is why they are not comfortable with their assigned gender. So it's not always about dysmorphia or dysphoria. Like, trans people don't always get gender affirmation surgery. Like, people aren't always doing things to change their body. So I don't think we can say for sure. But like, loving your body when you're naked but not when you're clothed could also come down to like the items that are available for your body. Clothes in stores are made, like, we're supposed to fit into them. They're not made for us, if that makes sense. And that's why a lot of them are so small. And so I feel like that would explain why being in those clothes makes you feel uncomfortable, because they're not tailored specifically for your body. If they were tailored exactly how you like them to be fit, or if you like made your own clothes, like, I feel like you would maybe feel more comfortable with your body. Yeah. And then there's also like all the expectations of like what your body should look like in certain clothes. Like I said earlier, I feel like in more masculine clothes, like the people who quote unquote look good in them, like have flatter chests, and I have a large chest, so I don't feel comfortable in those clothes, or like they literally right. just don't fit me. Like I like have looked at like men's pants at stores and I'm like, I don't think that's gonna fit my hips or my thighs. Like it's just not made for my body, so of course I'm not gonna feel comfortable in it. So that could have more to do with your expression and identity than your gender, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I think that because when people dress, it does create a sense of self. And then if you are limited to your, you know, quote unquote section or the right size or things fitting the way, you know, you do or don't want them to, I think that can sometimes just kind of like warp your perception of things. But I like how you said that clothes are literally just like from a society standpoint, they're not made for us to like alter. They're made for us to alter ourselves to fit into them. I think that, I don't know, that speaks to me on like so many levels. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, as we talked about like gender norms, I mentioned with like my dance costumes and stuff growing up, like some certain things like glitter and pink, like that makes me feel dysphoric, but I don't have like a gender dysmorphia. Like I don't even know that it's like the same, because it's not like, it just doesn't feel like me in a way that mm-hmm. makes me so uncomfortable. I literally want to throw up, and I don't mm-hmm. have a better way of explaining it honestly than that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make me feel like my sense of self isn't there. It just makes me feel like I'm being misrepresented. So mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't think we can say for sure either, but if you're comfortable naked, then like, I just think that when you put clothes on, you're feeling misrepresented. That doesn't mean that I have the answer for you. I just think that like, I can just, I guess, say like, we understand how you're feeling, because like, mm-hmm. it's not always as easy for everybody who's not, you know, size zero and in the box that they're supposed to be in mm-hmm. to find clothes that make us feel like, okay, yep, there I am. Mm-hmm. That's me.
And then even if you are like a size zero, you are expected to be the right kind of size zero. So it's really like, we're set up to fail no matter what, when it comes mm-hmm. to clothes. So I feel like the answer here is just finding clothes that you do feel comfortable in, or joining a nudist colony, I suppose, if that's an option for you, or making your own clothes if you can't find anything that you feel represents you accurately. And then the last question,
me for tips. I mess with my clothes all the time.
Yeah, I need some tips. I want to start sewing, but I'm scared. It seems hard.
I can help you out.
Cool.
It's not as near as hard as it seems.
Okay, good. So our last question actually has a lot to do with that. It's, how can I decide if I'm following harmful gender norms and expectations, or if I'm truly being genuine to my identity through physical expression? And I feel like, Gina, what you said about shaving your mustache really comes back to this question, because like, I have also always shaved my mustache because it was something that I was bullied for, like my body hair. And you're right, like it's not a gendered activity. Women are supposed to be hairless according to the patriarchy mm-hmm. and according to like European beauty standards, but like men can also shave their mustache and it's not seen as like non-masculine. So that right. just proves that it inherently is not like a gendered activity. And like letting it grow is also not gendered, because some men don't let it grow and some men do. So that should mean the inverse, that some women are allowed and or that women are yeah. allowed to do what they want with their body hair, basically.
Yeah, I think it is really a personal choice in terms of like what's genuine and what's physical expression. Mm-hmm. If you decide that you do something that fits into the typical gender norm, I don't think that that's harmful. The only way it's harmful is if you're saying that everybody needs to do that and you like shame other people. But like for yourself, if you decide these are the things that make me look in the mirror and say, okay, that's what I want to look like, who cares what box they're in? Just keep doing that. That's why we have like masks and femmes and people who are all over the spectrum, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to fit into any, you know, one box being a queer person. And so it comes down to like what you like when you look in the mirror. And I do understand that there's some things you have to break because, like I said, like I stopped shaving everything. And definitely for a while, I looked at my legs and I'd be like, they look masculine. And then I had to like unlearn that and be like, why do I think that? Because I only see men with hairy legs. It's not because women don't have hairy legs. It's because we don't get to see it. And then I have friends who don't shave. So seeing like even my very femme presenting friends not shave their legs, it changed my sense of perception. And now if I do or don't shave my legs, it's not going to be out of being feminine or masculine. It's going to be out of like, do I literally want that hair there for my own self? Like, and that's something that might take a minute and maybe you do have to play around. Like that's why I stopped shaving everything and like figured it out. And now I have a better understanding. So you kind of like play around and test until you figure out like, yep, there it is. That's what I'm trying to accomplish, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is you have to like look at why we do what we do, who's benefiting from us doing something or not doing something, and really interrogate it and maybe stop doing that thing for a while and see if you feel good and continue to do what makes you feel good and don't do what makes you feel bad. That's really the only way to figure it out. But I think it is important to like interrogate where those norms come from, because a lot of them do come from a place of control or a place of capitalistic quote unquote innovation. So it's important to like interrogate things, because we are always being sold things in one form or another. And we have to see if we really want to purchase those things that we're being sold.
I love that. I could honestly talk about this topic forever. I really have so much to say about it, but wrapping up here, if you are thinking, hey, how do I ask a question? I want to ask questions. Well, you should follow us on social media. We are posting question boxes for future episodes all the time. And you can do that anywhere at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for Twitter, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And if you're listening, please make sure to rate, subscribe, give us a review. And you can also follow us on Patreon if you want to subscribe for some extras, patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And last, you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And you can listen to Hello wherever you listen to podcasts for all of your Jersey Shore recaps.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Maspian on pretty much any social media platform. And with that, class is now dismissed.